Jay Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone. Hashtag rejected magic tweets. That's our sideline topic today. Worst Twitter account, and by proxy, the best. Here's an example from 2020. The Lakers losing Avery Bradley is a tough loss and will make it more difficult for them to win the championship. Whew. You don't say, an injury makes it harder.
Incredible analysis.
We have two series tied at 2-2. Game 5 is important.
What?
I had no idea this was the world that people lived in,
you
man.
You don't say.
The ones that's on YouTube TV is killing me right now, man. So, who was it? Hold up. Who said it? God, I lost it. Oh, Casey. A beach is near an ocean. Magic Johnson, 2021. I had no idea. A corn dog does not have corn in it. Might be the best one.
Here's Irvin Johnson from 2019. The only way San Antonio or Miami don't win the championship is if neither team makes the finals.
He didn't really write that. Irvin
Magic Johnson, the Clippers are dominating the Lakers 70-48 at halftime. That's literally just a fact. That's just a statement. Thanks for that.
There's no way he really wrote that, Jack. Dog.
Dude, if you just look up images, just search Google Magic Johnson tweets and then go to the images because people have screenshotted them for years. A wealth of content. So give us your best rejected Magic Johnson tweets this morning as we welcome in Josh Ward from the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on this morning?
Morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning. The only way that I don't do this segment with you is if you cut me off or the internet cuts me off.
Oh.
Oh.
Hashtag analysis right there from Josh Ward.
Hashtag big breakdown right there.
So
that's my big prediction for the segment.
Yeah, well, I feel pretty comfortable retweeting that one.
You mean to tell me if you speak, we will hear you?
That's the plan, yeah. It's talk radio, so maybe that analysis ends up blowing up in our face, but that's what I foresee here.
This from 2019. In both losses to the Clippers this season, the Lakers played great for the first 3.5 quarters and didn't play well in the last 5 minutes.
That is a breakdown for you, Josh.
Thank you for that analysis. So break down what happened yesterday. I said it this way because people were saying, was it nerves? I just think it was Virginia being better yesterday.
Yeah, the obvious, if we tried to channel the Magic Johnson tweet, would be Tennessee didn't stand a chance to win when it couldn't score. But that's the simplified breakdown of the opportunities were there. Tennessee didn't make the most of them when it was such a tight game throughout. And then in the end, Virginia was able to find an inning where it could bust out, and then it was too much for Tennessee to even try to come back. But those opportunities were there with runners in scoring position, and the Vols didn't deliver, and credit to Virginia that, you know, there were some hard hit balls that ended up in the wrong spot for Tennessee, but their pitcher was pressured and put into some tight spots, and he was able to get some key strikeouts as well. And Virginia just, it seized the moment. Tennessee did not. And I know the question is, can Tennessee bounce back? How will Tennessee respond? We've seen Tennessee do it before. And that's what I think fans are hoping for, is that, hey, Wright State down 3 runs in the 9th inning. This team has seen it before. And that was part of Tony Vitello's message after the loss on Sunday.
Go ahead, Jay.
No, you're fine.
When it comes down to this team, though, there's teams in this and Omaha right now that's been there before. Tennessee hasn't. Is that the difference, you think, between the poise, the experience, the know-how to kind of finish out a game when it comes to Tennessee versus, honestly, everybody else that's at Omaha right now?
Maybe. I think that's a fair question, because I wondered going in, how much does that matter? How much does it matter that programs have been in this position? Like Virginia, it had been several years, but it's a program that had been playing at a really high level, winning a national title 6 years ago. And we know about the others and what they've been able to do. Let's see on Tuesday. It's Tennessee versus Texas. Texas did not expect to be in the elimination game on Tuesday. Neither did Tennessee, but Texas is a program that's been here and is not coming back the way that Tennessee baseball has. So I wondered going in, hey, all these programs that they have this experience recently, and for Tennessee, it's been so long. I kind of dismissed the idea because of the personality and the confidence that this team carries. And like I just said, Tennessee has faced pressure. They lost that opening game in Hoover. So we could have come out of that game saying, okay, now that it's a bigger spot in the SEC tournament, how is Tennessee going to respond? And in that tournament, losing its first game, especially in a kind of a controversial way with that call, the Vols responded. So my guess is that Tennessee will respond fine, and it's just the better team that wins on Tuesday. But the question you're asking is probably one that a lot of us are asking.
Was it 35 in the last 39 College World Series champions have won game one, showing how, one, how difficult it is to win this thing, also how difficult it is to come out of the loser's bracket. When you looked at yesterday, Chad Dallas wasn't bad. He might not have been as electric as we've seen at times, but he wasn't terrible. I think more than anything else, it was just not being able to capitalize. You had enough guys on the base paths left there to have won the game. I think it was 8 runners in scoring position that you left out there when Abbott had to get out of a jam, and he wasn't there. Unfortunately for Tennessee, the defense was. Like, Virginia's defense stepped up when they had to, and then you had the unfortunate luck of having one out and that line drive where the second baseman was in a perfect spot to leap up and make that grab, and then you're able to just go play baseball again with one out left. It just didn't – the cards were not in Tennessee's favor yesterday when they had guys in position to score.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, with what you mentioned with Chad Dallas, if you play the opposite game and Tennessee is able to take advantage of those opportunities, they do get some runs home, and Tennessee goes on to win the game. Maybe Tony Vitello is making some different pitching changes. Obviously, we're never going to know. But if Tennessee scores runs early in the first half of the game and then Tennessee is playing with the advantage and ends up winning, then today we're talking about how Chad Dallas was able to hang on, maybe in some tough spots himself. He gave up that solo shot early. But he was able to hold on, and the offense took care of business for Tennessee to get game one. So you can play the conversation one way or the other based on the result, and I think that's the case here with Tennessee. You mentioned the first game. It is so important, I think, especially in this tournament. This field of 8 is really deep. I think the first weekend shows that. Seeing NC State continue what it had done leading up to the World Series with the game 2 and 3 wins against Arkansas – NC State came in saying, hey, we went to Arkansas and knocked off the number one team in the country in elimination games back to back. Why can't we beat these teams? And it showed that how Vanderbilt was pressed, and Rocker was not at his best in game one. Vanderbilt still gets the win, of course, but then Texas and Tennessee, 2 of the 3 favorites, one of them will be out after Tuesday afternoon. So just think about that. I think that shows how deep this field is, and is a reminder of how difficult this position is. But I would say the mental game would be, if you win on Tuesday, you say, okay, we've reset things. And to win on Tuesday, you have to beat a really good team in Texas. And if that happens for the Vols, they still don't have the advantage, but they're still alive and they know they have a shot to win.
When it comes down to where Tennessee is and how they're in, what place they're in right now, as far as being in Omaha, the teams that are there, as you mentioned before, Texas, let's go Vanderbilt, Virginia, those are teams that kind of has had that pedigree of being able to get to Omaha. They have a consistency of being able to recruit well. Tennessee's at a point where now Tony Vitello has this team. I don't know how to explain how they got there, considering the other rosters probably have better talent. But this year, no matter what happens, what kind of talent or what kind of trajectory do you see Tony Vitello and his Vol teams has? Meaning, can they compete roster-wise as far as pitching, as far as play infield with those other teams like Vandy, who's been doing it for a while? Is that the plan you hope moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think Tony Vitello will recruit really well moving forward, because now he actually has some success to go out and take on the recruiting trail. Like, he had a chance to get that last year. Last year's team could have been really good, as a lot of people have pointed out the last few weeks, and then the pandemic kept Tennessee from being able to show that in terms of on-field results. So for the first time, Tony actually has something to take out and tell recruits, say, hey, look, I promised we were going to get here. We've done it very quickly. 3 or 4 years, I had Tennessee in the College World Series or a position to make that kind of run. Come join us. And I also think, you know, this is a program that's now, it's going to have a spotlight on it more often. There's going to be more coverage of Tennessee. There's going to be more talk around Tennessee baseball. They're going to make sure, Tony Vitello and his coaching staff, that recruits see what Tennessee did with the Super Regional, with all the fans that were there to watch outside and the viewing party they did at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, to show that there is a commitment to Tennessee baseball. And the other subject that's just been out there for the last few months now would be improving the resources and the facilities for Tony Vitello to attract talent. There's a lot of talent in the state of Tennessee that has to help. So I think long-term, are they going to go to the World Series? I don't know every year, but they're going to be a team that we're talking about most every year making the NCAA tournament and being in a position where they can host regionals and potentially host super regionals. And if you do that, you just have an advantage. If you're at home in those games, then you have a better opportunity, I think, to make it to the Final Eight, to get to Omaha. And a lot of it is getting people to buy in, getting people to believe. And I think that's already taken place in Knoxville.
Josh Ward joining us from WNML here on J-Mart and Ramon. You talk about talent in Knoxville. What about the talent in Tony Vitello himself? That's kind of the other topic that, all baseball fans and just SEC sports fans in general are interested to see. Vitello's a red-hot name. It does look like Tennessee is stepping up to the plate and looking to him and probably potentially going to give him what he wants. I've said to other people, I've said to your colleagues at WNML and other people over the past few weeks, increasingly, it feels like to me Tony Vitello is going nowhere. Is that the sense that he's here for the long haul?
That's the sense I get as well. I've heard nothing to indicate that Tennessee is afraid that he's going to leave and that behind the scenes, Tennessee has made it very clear, hey, we're going to get this taken care of in terms of your contract, but also the facility upgrades, Lindsey Nelson Stadium, that we've talked about a bunch. So that's the expectation. Now, I understand fans' concern that can just naturally exist when you hear your coach's name talked about. When over the weekend, Mike Bianco says that, hey, Oxford's my home. I'm going to stay in Ole Miss. And then you start to see Tony Vitello's name mentioned a little more with the LSU coaching vacancy. So until it's done and official with the contract extension, hesitancy from fans because what they've seen, I mean, frankly, from football, I mean, that's what the concern level comes from. And I totally get it. But the expectation that I'm aware of is that Tony Vitello will continue to be at Tennessee. He loves Tennessee. And Tennessee has to step forward and make commitments, and I think that that has happened and will happen for him. Now, if I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, a lot of people are going to be wrong.
Yes.
If he were to leave. But that would be a disaster for Tennessee, and I think Danny White knows that. I think Tennessee knows that, and that's why they're going to do everything they can to make sure Tony Vitello stays and is happy to stay and keep building what he believes he can in Knoxville.
Josh, I saw from a few days ago, like somebody said they didn't, the Jaguars had named a starter, and you said you have a good prediction on how that will play out. Will you say that on air with us? Like, who do you predict going to be the starter in Jacksonville?
Yeah, Tim Tebow. I thought that was pretty obvious in the tweet, but you guys didn't see that.
How silly is that though, man?
It is, yeah. I love these summer games because they are so silly, and I don't get it. There are some things that coaches do, and I do understand, and I do a little bit more at the college level when you have a real quarterback battle. Like, I think Tennessee football has a real quarterback battle. So Josh Heupel saying, yeah, it's open, I believe that. Mm-hmm. Nobody does in Jacksonville. I think it's probably going to be the guy that they spent the number one pick on, Trevor Lawrence, who is incredibly talented and was able to play as a freshman and win a national championship at Clemson. So these games, that I don't get it at the pro level. College, a little bit more, because I think there's also a little bit extra paranoia that comes. But seeing that, and, you know, I recognize where we're talking about here, but sometimes I don't get it. And but I'm a media guy. I'm saying put everything on the table, and I recognize that coaches are not always going to do that.
Yeah.
So in that same sense, though, UT football, I mean, we're about a little bit over a month away from, I think, all football camps starting up in a sense, month and a half possibly. How do you think this quarterback situation is going to shake out up in Knoxville when it all boils down? Because now is going to be the time where they're trying to refine some stuff, get more into the playbook, because they have to with this offense that Heupel has there. Who do you really kind of see manning that position under center? Well, not under center, shotgun.
Yeah, right. that is a great question, because it's my thoughts with the Tennessee quarterback position are kind of the opposite of everything I just said about if we're talking about Jacksonville or what's going to happen with, you know, ultimately in Chicago, Justin Fields is going to play there with the Bears. We know when that commitment's made. I can't say that as much with the same level of confidence early on. In spring, I felt more confident in Hendon Hooker because of his experience and the lack thereof with the other guys and some of the things you hear behind the scenes, because practice is still happening behind the scenes with Harrison Bailey. He looked good in the spring game. We also have to be careful about talking about that. Now you have the wild card of Joe Milton. I think Joe Milton coming in from Michigan is coming in to legitimately compete to be the starter. Okay. Can he pull that off in a 5-week stretch from the start of practice to the opening game that Thursday night against Bowling Green, I'm personally skeptical. And I say 5 week stretch. He's on campus now. He's going through summer workouts, which I think most people know. But I maybe lean Hendon Hooker still early because you have a little more confidence in the veteran who's played more that he can do what you ask him to do. But I can't say that confidently at all through the entire season. And I don't say it with as much confidence as I did at the start of spring. So I think Harrison Bailey has a real shot. I think Joe Milton at some point, whether it's the beginning of the season or during the season, will get a real opportunity if the coaches don't believe in the other guys as much. I'd be really surprised with Brian Maurer being the guy. And Caden Salter, it's just way too early for him to have a shot, in my opinion. So I think the conversation starts out Hooker and Bailey, and then let's see what Joe Milton can do.
Josh, you talk about opportunity. More teams look like they're going to be getting an opportunity in years to come in the college football playoff. What's your assessment? Back in the days of Mr. SEC, what would Mr. SEC have written about a 12-team playoff in college football?
Well, and with Mr. SEC, it's funny to bring that up. I covered recruiting a lot, and I think I would have been writing about the angle of, okay, this at least gives more schools an opportunity to say, hey, look at what we did from a postseason standpoint to attract recruits. And that's not going to mean that Alabama and Georgia and Clemson, Ohio State are going to lose all their players. Not at all. They might even get a little bit stronger, but I think it helps a Florida that's trying to get back in that now will have a much better chance, or schools that almost have no chance that now they can get into the mix. Because think about recruits moving forward. They're going to grow up knowing this playoff system. They're going to know the 12 teams. So to them, getting in there is pretty cool. Not the same, but similar to Tennessee baseball is going to say, hey, we made the College World Series. Let's say the Vols lose on Tuesday, so they're 0-2 and they don't really have a chance at the national title. They're still going to say, hey, look, we made it to Omaha. And to baseball players, that's a big deal. I think that will be the case with the playoff moving forward as it changes. And that's what recruits grow up knowing. I don't think it changes much with the national championship landscape. Alabama doesn't have much to worry about. Clemson, Ohio State right now don't have much to worry about. But I think it makes things a little bit more interesting. I actually believe, especially if they change the quarterfinal plan to be on a campus side as well, that it can make the regular season at least more interesting in that different way, because you're playing for something else, home field or a bye, to get into the playoff. So I like that it freshens up what's still a little bit. Now, you say Mr. SEC, John Pennington, who's running the site and writing the other side, I don't think he would have liked the 12 team at all. I think he would have gone more traditional. So that's why I think you have a legitimate split. And I don't know that anybody's necessarily wrong with their opinions. I side with, hey, I like this. I like that it's going to be a little bit different, and it opens up more opportunities, not necessarily national championship opportunities. Coastal Carolina is not winning the national title. I don't think Cincinnati is, but they can make things more interesting. Maybe you get an upset and maybe it shakes up the field a little bit.
So on the way out, Josh, what do you think happens with the Vols in Texas tomorrow? And maybe Vandy too, if you have a thought there.
Well, am I going to get booed if I pick Texas and I'm negative on the Vols, or will I be the jinx if I pick Tennessee and then they go down tomorrow? I think Tennessee will respond. This can be tough. Texas has a really good pitcher that it looks like the Longhorns are going to throw in Tristan Stevens. I think that's their plan. I think Tennessee's going to go with Tidwell. So I would expect a lower scoring game where you have to grind it out and win, similar to where things were the first 5 or 6 innings against Virginia. You never know. The bats could explode, and maybe Tennessee responds early because they had those opportunities on Sunday. But I think Texas probably gets them. I think Texas, with that experience we talked about, probably gets Tennessee. But that doubt is what the Vols have thrived on, and let's see if they can respond.
I wonder what Magic Johnson would say. I think he would just say similar to what you said off the top of this. Tennessee has a good chance to win if they put up more runs tomorrow than Texas.
I don't think you need any more analysis than that. The team that will play more guys on Tuesday will advance in the College World Series.
Hey!
Always a pleasure, Josh. Thanks so much for the time.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's Josh Ward, WNML. I'm reading more Magic Johnson tweets during the interview. I heard every word Josh Ward said, as far as you know. But this tweet that I – petty.
What?
Just going into the break.
What, man?
Doc Rivers' voice is ashy as hell. Put some lotion on those vocal cords, bro.
Josh Smith has some stuff to say.
More question. Is Doc Rivers' voice ashy? And I look up and I see the cocoa butter right in front of me on the table.
cocoa butter on deck, man.
Some of your submissions for rejected Magic Johnson tweets, drop those in there as you are. Drop those into YouTube. Drop them into Twitch. Drop them on Twitter. We will come back. Plus, I have some actual Magic Johnson tweets that I found. They're worse than you think. Uh-oh. Be right back. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Can't be.